Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome to Homeschool Companion in part two of Engage to Persuade. And our guest is Tony Arnold. He has coordinated news features appearing in ABC's Good Morning America, CBS Evening News with Katie Couric, CNN's Anderson Cooper, NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams, the Associated Press. You get the picture. I think that, and I could keep naming them, Time, Newsweek, Wall Street Journal. When I hear the word engage, you know, the title of our show is Engage to Persuade. We might think of combat, you know, like to engage the enemy. But what does engage mean to you, Tony?
Rose, I think of engage and some of the synonyms that include pursue, attract, win, capture. How about charm, fascinate, enchant, counter? I could go on and on. Captivate, allure, secure, involve, enter, catch, attach. I just really want to help our stories, help the stories of what God is doing through lives of people today, to help the media understand what those stories are. And the best way we can do that, it's kind of like the old saying, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than seeing the media as the enemy, see them as someone whom we need to develop a relationship with.
So what you're saying, and let me kind of recap this and see if I understand, you're trying to positively engage journalists to connect with them with compelling stories that they would otherwise miss. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly it. Let me tell you what I have in mind. I envision a reporter sitting at his or her desk, late in the morning, and they are starving. They skipped breakfast, and all they've got for lunch is a stale pimento cheese sandwich in their drawer. And I have delivered to their desk a tasty appetizer with an invitation to a special lunch fixed by this international chef. And along with the invitation, I say, I will meet them at the door. I'll bring them in. They're going to have some fascinating lunch guests that they'll be sitting with. And by the way, I'm going to help they will be able to interview that chef after the luncheon. Now, my question is, what are they going to be most interested in, that stale pimento cheese sandwich in their drawer or that invitation to that luncheon?
No, that analogy, of course, has my mouth watering. But so in practical terms, are you saying that you bring to them a story in a printed form or where you go and talk to them about this story? Or are you saying that you build a relationship, and then from after the relationship's built, then you take them a step further and say, look, can you interview this person?
Well, it begins with you've got to learn how to shake hands. And so sometimes the story becomes the way that I shake hands with a reporter or a producer or a journalist of any kind. And along the way, we develop a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do believe it's we've got great stories.
Now, what story?
Media is hungry for our stories.
What story was featured on ABC's Good Morning America?
Oh, that's probably my favorite story. The concept was one of what do we do with a young girl who grew up in a church home, a Christian home, where her parents were involved in church. She goes away to another state to college, joins a sorority, and lives a wild life, and basically goes against, you know, it's the horror story for many parents. However, as a junior, sophomore, and then as a sophomore, her next year, she actually came to faith on campus. At home, she had been going through the motions of church, but had never come to know Jesus. And so as a sophomore, she actually came to Christ and got involved in Bible study and growing with other believers on campus, and her life was changed. And so that's the story that we did with Good Morning America. They aired a piece that was about 4 minutes, 45 seconds.
Wow.
In length. And if you know anything about morning television, that's an eternity.
That is.
And it was...
In fact, give us a little perspective. How much would you have to pay for a 30-second spot?
Well, network television, they don't quote you a price unless you're able to pay. And so for that much time, at that point in time, it would have been millions of dollars.
Yeah, millions of dollars.
Wow. So how is
and,
what?
And it was all for free.
Yeah, yeah, that's the beauty of it.
That's one of those amazing. Well, how is what you do with the media similar to what, say, a missionary in another country does?
Well, just think, when you send a missionary to deepest, darkest Africa, I'm not sure where that is. I lived in Africa a number of years, and I never found deepest darkness. But still, you send a missionary overseas. You expect them to learn something about the country. You learn about the culture. You learn the language so that you're able to share the gospel with those people. Well, in this country, with the media, we need to learn something of the media culture. Of they may look like us. They may even talk like us. But they may not think like us. If they're not a believer, it's up to me to get into their world, just like it's up to a missionary in Africa to get into the world of the people that they're trying to reach.
I'm taking notes. Did you repeat the same story with CNN, or do you do a different story with each one?
Similar, but sometimes similar stories. With CNN, Anderson Cooper, that was in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Again, it was spring break, but we had, over the course of several months, but the largest number during spring break, 18,000 college students connected with Campus Crusade went down on relief efforts, Hurricane Katrina relief effort. And so Anderson Cooper set up his show live one night from the base of operations that we used in the Ninth Ward. Another CNN American Morning, they reported how Campus Crusade did what, to that date, you know, no other government office had been able to accomplish, was we had running water and electricity in the Ninth Ward.
Wow.
Actually, in a very small area. That was an overstatement. another favorite piece I did with CBS Evening News with Katie Couric. Katie introduced the piece with the statement, "If you ask who the big man on campus is at the nation's colleges today, the answer may surprise you. It's Jesus."
Oh, wow.
And we did it. And we shot that story at University of Wisconsin, which was a top 10 party school. And it was the story, again, of another college co-ed who was living the party scene, came to Christ, her life was transformed. And so it was, in a sense, a contrast piece. Here's a school that's supposed to be one of the biggest party schools in the country. And here's a kid, one of hundreds, who had come to Jesus, and they showed the environment where there were about 500 kids praising the Lord, and then her story.
Mm.
So it's those changed life stories that's the essence of the gospel, and that's the essence of the human interest story that the media so hungers for.
Wow. Well, we actually have some emails coming in, and so I'd like to read this one to you. It says, "I'm trying to start a ministry. My ministry is about values, and I've written 3 books. I just seem to spin my wheels all the time. How can I help people find about me?"
I think one thing that would be of best help is if they would turn that question around. And the question is not so much about them as an author, but about what is the need, what is the problem, what is the situation, and how is that author, what is the solution they're offering?
Mm-hmm.
So that it's not about them, it's about the needs that people have and how they are helping meet those needs.
So how would they get that word out, though? You know, it's about values here, it says, and how do they get the word out? How do they find out where that need is?
Well, in this case, if she's an author, she's saying she's she's written books about the subject. I presume it's a woman, but he or she that they are an expert on the topic of values or the need for values or perhaps the absence of values in schools and society today. And so I think a beginning point for her in the media, they talk about talking points. What's the main point that she wants to communicate? And then what are 3 to 5 subpoints, a single sentence that will summarize her whole issue, the issue that she's trying to communicate. But again, make it not about her, but about other people and the problems that they're facing and what she's offering as a solution to their problems.
That's great. We have a listener asking, and we have a lot of young listeners that listen to the show, and this particular listener wants to know, if I do a career in communications and public relations, what should I take in college?
The most popular fields usually involve English, journalism, communications. They're now broadcast majors. Things that involve, that help you learn to write and speak. And actually, U.S. News and World Report last week issued a study that said that public relations is one of the top 50 career choices for the next decade.
Wow. So they're on the right track.
Yeah. Or they could be someone like me, and I had a major in history and political science, and God used me in many different ways, and after a 30-year primarily ministry-focused career, suddenly found myself in the media relations world and learned in the midst.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, did you take, journalism or public relations in college? But I think kids are okay to go on the path that they're going, but be open to how God leads them.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And anything, if they're interested in this area, anything that helps them communicate better, and communication begins with listening. It's like you're asking great questions. And so it's asking those questions and listening for the answers and then repeating them back. That's the essence of someone mm-hmm. working with the media, whether they're in front of the camera, behind the camera, microphone, whatever.
Well, we have another listener asks here, how has technology changed the face of public relations? And
that's a great question, Kathy. Technology has changed not just the face of public relations, but of life and behavior in general. This last summer, a survey reported that one-third of American women aged 18 to 34, the first thing they do in the morning is check Facebook.
Wow.
That's even before going to the bathroom.
That's
so
amazing.
Social media has done a tremendous job of both complicating and easing public relations professionals' lives. We are all connected so many different ways now, not just by email, but by social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and hundreds of other sites. The ability to connect with someone, time is compressed. What used to be involved perhaps days or weeks now is hours or perhaps only minutes that we have to respond in the 24/7 news cycle. So technology has really dramatically changed, I think, all of our lives.
Yeah, now, but it still doesn't take the place of that one-on-one, face-to-face. And I think some of us get so caught up with doing everything through email and over the phone that we forget we need to go out there and engage still on a personal level.
Exactly. We have our virtual relationships, and then we need to take them from just virtual into the personal, the face-to-face, like you said.
We've heard quite a few success stories, but I wondered if you would be willing to share maybe a challenge or a disappointment and how and what you learned from it.
I think anytime I travel anywhere on behalf of, whether it was with Campus Crusade or anyone else, coming in, working with the media to get coverage of a story. I personally never want to disappoint, but I also know that news coverage and media, they're following the news cycle. I actually tell people to pray for a slow news day. I say we don't want any wrecks, any fires, any murders, no cats up a tree. We don't want anything to become the breaking story to take away from our story. Just recently, I was working with a group, and that morning, the morning paper, the metro section, we had a tremendous front of the metro section above the fold article, a couple of photos, very positive. A couple of different TV stations were supposed to come that evening and cover the story. And there was in another part of the state, a couple hours away, there had been a shooting of a policeman and then the suicide of the shooter and an arrest. And so all the TV assets, you know, all their remote vehicles were shuttling back and forth to that story. And we had no TV coverage. Mm-hmm. We had a great newspaper coverage, but no TV. So the person that I was working with, the one in charge of the nonprofit, they understood what that was about, but it still stung. It's still a disappointment.
Yeah. Now there was we were talking about questions, and you were talking about a technique that I had said something like no comment, you know, that you could say no comment. And you said a good public relations person doesn't say no comment, but they have techniques with taking questions maybe that they don't want to answer. And I wondered if you'd share that with us.
Sure. The only time you hear no comment is in a TV show or perhaps by a lawyer. If you're asked a question that is a question, it's like that person that called in who's talking about values. If she were being interviewed and asked a question that didn't really help her get her message across, there are two techniques that are taught in public relations or in interview training. Those techniques are called blocking and bridging. Blocking, the first thing you do is block the question, and then you bridge to the topic that you want to talk about. So if somebody were to ask that author about, what do you think about all the commercialization of Christmas? That might not be the best topic for her to talk about. So she would say, that's an interesting question. But, you know, the values that people have of what is truly important in their lives, of loving others, and so she switches on into her topic, and avoiding a topic that may not be bad, but it may not go in a direction that helps her get her message out. And that's a simple technique, and that's taught in schools, that's taught in classes, that can be taught in homeschools.
Have you had any humorous things happen to you in your experience with public relations? that you can talk about on the air.
Yeah, with this particular audience.
Yes.
That's an interesting question.
Now he's going to use his blocking and bridging technique.
Yeah, let's go on to another one. No, I think a lot of times it's just the funny interactions that go on behind the camera or outside the studio or while waiting for a story. I've been in some, one particular evangelist, I was working with him in a number of situations, and it was funny, we were in Chicago with a number of events, and two TV stations and the reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times showed up at the worst attended event that we have ever had in 5 years of working together. There were 17 people there.
Mm.
And yet it aired, and actually the piece is aired, but it was like, goodness, they couldn't air the event because there was nobody there versus the night before, a room with 1,000 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes those are the grin and bear it, and they happen.
Yes. Have you ever coordinated work with other groups?
Yeah, to the extent that when I was with Campus Crusade, if we could partner with other organizations over the years in many different campuses. If there was an administrative university restriction that only someone associated with a recognized student group could sponsor an event like that, then we would sponsor them coming on campus. That's another means of getting the gospel out.
Now, where did Campus Crusade get their funding from to support a ministry like that?
Both Campus Crusade and Levis's, whom I'm with now, every staff member is responsible for developing a team of ministry partners, financial supporters, mm-hmm. that contribute on a regular basis, and it's through their gifts that that our salaries are paid and our ministry expenses are covered.
So in addition to doing public relations, you had to do some fundraising as well?
Sure. Still do. But the real value of that is that gives me the opportunity to invite other people to join in the ministry in a way that they might not personally be able to, but together to partner to reach thousands and millions with the gospel.
I'm still awed at the idea of television and newspaper. Do you take, you know, when you're trying to convince somebody of doing your, doing a little piece on you, do you start with just the simple press release, or do you build a relationship first?
Most often, it's I'm using a press release or a media alert or some other device. That's what the media, they're used to getting those.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain way, there are forms that it should be written in, a certain style. It works.
Yeah. It has.
It's been used, and it still works. So for most people, I would say that's a way to start. Relationships are great, and that can help over time. If you don't have a relationship, how do you start one? And a press release is a way to introduce yourself.
Now, you said that you were with, have you yourself actually been interviewed by any of these people like Katie Couric or Brian Williams or Anderson Cooper?
Well, Katie and Brian weren't actually on the shoot. Actually, Katie initiated it, but there were national correspondents that, I've been on air and with Good Morning America or CBS and some of the others several times, either the broadcast version or perhaps a more extended web interview version.
Well, we're coming to the end of our show, and Tony, I wondered if you could give us some last words of advice for our listeners. If they didn't come away with anything else from this show, what is the most important thing they should remember?
I think the most important thing is to have the perspective that people are hungry to know Jesus. They are hungry for His love and forgiveness. Sometimes they don't know it yet, but it's most important for us to get into their world in a positive way, to engage them, to pursue them, to encounter them, to involve them, so
wow.
that we can love them for Jesus' sake.
Well, you know, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven." It's as simple as that. We're all involved in public relations for Jesus Christ.
This is the conclusion of today's show. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media Ministries. Thank you so much, Tony, and thank you, Kathy, my co-host here, and thank you, Matt Bosley, and the Life Talk Network for making this broadcast possible. Make sure you check us out on our website, myhomeschoolcompanion.com. We'll try to blog about this show and put any web addresses there that will benefit you as you pursue your public relations, engaging to persuade. That's My Homeschool Companion. We have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless.